ज्ञानकिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपम् रूपं तस्याग्रजम् उरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशा। प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। I will continue to speak on the verse that I spoke on yesterday. Kshantir avyarta kala dvam viraktir manashunyata asha bhanga samutkanta namagane sadaruchihi pritistad vasate asaktistad gunakyane pritistad vasatistale ityadayo ityadaro nubhavasyur jata bhavankure jane. Description of the symptoms of a person in whom bhav, ecstatic feelings for Krishna, Srila Prabhupada translated this, in whom bhav has at least begun to appear. Yesterday I discussed shanti, tolerance, avyarta kaladvam, not wasting time, wanting to spend all one's time engaged in the service of Krishna. Now, next is virakti, which means detachment. Bhaktir pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. This is one of the definitions of bhakti given in Shastra. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti in this verse is described as anubhav. Again, anubhav. Here the word anubhav is used. In this verse is used somewhat differently from the way it's used in the verse which I just quoted of Rupa Goswami. So, Srila Prabhupada translates this here, anubhava, as experience. Experience of the Supreme Person, Supreme Lord, Supreme Controller, Purish, Transcendental Controller. And concomitant detachment from everything else. If one is attached to Krishna, then is not attached to anything else. The Mayavadis attempt to become detached from matter and not attached to anything. That is not possible. They become attached to their own mental speculations. They become attached to the name and fame of being known as a saintly person. They may even be attached to their very few possessions. Sadhus, they have kopin, kanta, and kamandalu. These three things of Brahmin underwear, we used to call that kopin. Somehow they got the name in English, Brahmin underwear. Kopin, kanta, which means a patchwork quilt suitable for the winter in North India, and kamandalu, the water pot. Sannyasi has one water pot in Others, they may, they'll have one source of water for bathing, one source of water for washing clothes, one source of water for washing deity paraphernalia, but he drinks and he washes his backside with the same water pot. A sannyasi can do that. If anyone else does it, then they're considered contaminated. So it's a very detached life. They're detached not only from material possessions, but from even the rules. That the rules, of course, sannyasis have strict rules to follow. I'm talking about traditional Vedic culture here. Sannyasis have strict rules to follow, but they're different to those of the householders. And not so many rules. As sometimes people think that when you become a sannyasi you have to follow more rules, but actually in traditional Vedic society, the grihasthas, especially the Brahmin grihasthas, they have to follow so many rules. That's why they're called smartas, because they have to follow the smriti, all the different rules, so many different rules. So detachment in Krishna consciousness is, well, there are two ways to approach it. One is that by becoming attached to Krishna, and the other is that one should also follow some rules to become detached from material life. One cannot become detached from sense gratification if one indulges in it. Therefore, there are rules by which one should, that will help one to become detached from sense gratification, because sense gratification impedes our opportunity, or it impedes the awakening of our natural proclivity to be attached to Krishna. Therefore, in Vaidhi Bhakti, we follow rules which restrict us from sense gratification. So there's, we can call that artificial detachment. It's artificial but necessary. Artificial in the sense that we may feel like indulging in sense gratification, but we deliberately don't do so. We restrict ourselves. And actually any civilized person has to do this, not even to speak of a devotee. Someone may... the natural proclivity of especially young men or any men and women is to indulge in sexual acts, but one should, in civilized society, one should restrain oneself. The dogs, they do not restrain themselves. As I just posted a quote from Srila Prabhupada on my, one of my daily postings, that for the cats and dogs, there's no rape law. They have the opportunity and they indulge. That's all. So a human being has to control his inclinations in spiritual life more so. In Vedic Vanashram life, there are allowances for sense gratification under license, especially in the Grihastha Ashram. But in Bhakti, that's also there. But one has, what's being talked about here, detachment in the stage of Bhav, is when it's not because of rules and regulations. When one is not, there's no artificial detachment, one is automatically detached. He doesn't feel attraction to that which other people feel attracted to, objects of sense gratification. So that is the detachment that comes when one is developing attachment for Krishna. This is a symptom of one who is developing or has developed actual feelings for Krishna. And that is why bona fide devotees of Krishna virulently reject persons who claim to have a very high level of love of Krishna and even make a big show of doing so, but also engage in acts of sense gratification. They'll talk of Rasa Leela, and why just be theoretical? Let's do it. So grab someone else's wife or some widow or whoever you can find and engage in Rasa Lila. And this is Krishna praying. I'm meditating on Rasa Lila and I feel so much absorbed in it that without, just spontaneously, I run to the forest with all the local women running after me and we engage there in Rasa Lila. This is bogus. This virakti, or detachment, a natural detachment from sense gratification, is a precondition for even beginning to hear about such intimate pastimes of Krishna. In approximately 1974, it must have been later, 75, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita was fully translated, printed and published at that time. And some devotees in Los Angeles, actually Prabhupada said, don't call them devotees, they're rascals. Or some of Srila Prabhupada's initiated disciples, they formed a club, which later came to be known as the Gopi Bhava Club. Sarcastically, it was called that. For devotees to read especially those sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita which describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies in the mood of Radharani and the feelings of the intimate feelings of the gopis for Krishna. And they were focusing on reading this and with the idea of wanting to enter into that bhav. We're talking about bhav here. Gopi bhava. The feelings of the gopis. Some devotees felt that this was inappropriate. And when Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, they brought the matter to the attention of Srila Prabhupada, who was extremely disturbed and immediately stopped the whole thing. Citing the experience that he had seen in Bengal and Vrindavan of so-called advanced devotees who discuss all these things and also engage in illicit sexual activities. And then one of the devotees who was reporting this to Prabhupada said that yes, one of the leading members of the group, a lady devotee, she had had an abortion because of an illicit sexual affair with another member of the group. An initiated devotee had an abortion. Yes, these things are going on even today. So that for Prabhupada was the proof of that. Now that doesn't mean that the highly confidential pastimes of Krishna should never be discussed. But there is a matter of eligibility. And the eligibility is that one should be naturally detached from inclinations towards sense gratification. Otherwise, the tendency is that if we hear about Krishna's intense sense enjoyment, then instead of worshipping that and desiring to serve Krishna to enhance his intense sense enjoyment, then we start to think, well, if he can, why not me? And we fall down. We remember our own sense enjoyment activities. Instead of getting inspiration for becoming more attached from Maya so that we can serve Krishna, we get inspiration to serve Maya more. So that Srila Prabhupada used to quote, Yadavadhi mama cheta krishna padarabinda nava nava rasa dhama nudyante rantamasit sadavadhi bata nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara. What's the next word? Spitting. Srishtu nishti, nishti, no, nishtivanam means, is a very high class sounding words which means spitting. Then I spit. So Prabhupada quotes this as Yamuna Acharya saying this, that since I have been engaged in activities of Krishna consciousness and experiencing at every moment ever more blissful rasa, since that time, whenever I think of association with a woman, then instead of becoming eager for that, just the opposite. My lips, bhavati mukhavikar, that my lips curl with distaste. Srila Prabhupada translated this. Sushtu nishthivanamcha, and I spit. So one who is detached from all tendency towards sense gratification, we can understand this person is on the level of bhava bhakti. On the other hand, those who they don't even want to follow the basic rules for giving up sense gratification, where is the possibility of advancing in Krishna consciousness? Just like I often say, I often speak against devotees eating in karmi restaurants and buying food here and there and eating here and there, just buying some chips or chocolates or whatever from the shop, maybe offering them to who, and then taking it, or buying bread from the shop, it's convenient. I say, well, what's the harm? The harm is that it's sense gratification. And you might think it's a minor sense gratification, but it's enough to stop our development of Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jiva laloshe jay iti uti dhai, shishnoda parayan Krishna nahipai. Very succinct language, very clear. Jiva laloshe, those who are greedy for the gratification of the tongue, jiti uti dhai, they run here and there trying to find very nice things for satisfying my tongue. Then they become attached to what? To Krishna? No. They become attached to the tongue. Obviously that attachment's already there. And the next thing is genitals and belly. Shishnoda parayan and Krishna nahipai. And they don't get Krishna. So he got some chocolates, but he didn't get Krishna. So detachment from any thought of sense gratification, that is a symptom of someone on the platform of bhava. And for those who are not prepared, for those who think that, well, as long as I'm a vegetarian and more or less follow all the principles, it's okay. Always the attitude of thinking, what's the least I can do and still get Krishna praying? As many rules as I can break and as possible and still get Krishna praying, then I'll do that. Instead of thinking, how can I atma nikshepa, throwing ourselves toward Krishna, instead of thinking I have to do whatever is required to get Krishna's mercy, if we think that, well, let me just do the minimum and somehow scrape through, Krishna's very merciful. The Jesusization of Prabhupada, this is also going on. The Christian idea that, well, Jesus loves us, and I love Jesus. Of course, I don't follow everything that he says, I don't know what he says, but we just love him. That's all. Well, you don't even love him, just believe in Jesus. That's all you have to do. I believe in Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that's all you have to do. And then you do whatever you like, and Jesus saves you, and everyone else gets thrown into hell to burn forever because Jesus loves you. This is their, I wouldn't call it a philosophy, but something posing as some kind of worldview or attitude towards life. So in the same way, I'm very weak, but I love Krishna, and I love Prabhupada, and I don't follow everything that Prabhupada says. I don't believe in everything that he says. He made a lot of mistakes, after all. He was an old man. He wasn't really tuned into the world. So anyway, we just love him, and we can do more or less whatever we like, and sometimes we might pick up our japa beads, or at least look at them, and Prabhupada will save us. Just believe in Prabhupada. Just, that's all. So, that's not what Prabhupada taught. And such an idea is useless anyway. Then there's no point. Then we might as well... Why did we all come here? Us from the West, we might as well remain Christians. You could have become vegetarian Christians, I guess. So detachment, it's demanding. It's heavy. It's to give up all attachment. If we honestly look in our hearts, at least I can say this of myself, and if the shoe fits, wear it. If this applies to you, then you can consider it yourself also. If we look into our hearts and start looking around and see how many attachments we have to so many useless things. Everything material is useless. We are attached. So we have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness so that we become attached to Krishna, and concomitant detachment from Maya will be there. All these symptoms of bhava are interrelated. Kshanti, tolerance. The example is given of Parikshit Maharaj. He was able to tolerate the curse that he will die in 7 days. He didn't become disturbed. And then he was able to sit day and night, no eating, no sleeping, because he was detached from anything. He was attached to hearing about Krishna and concomitantly detached from everything else. And he didn't want to waste any time. Waste time means to engage in activities that are connected to Maya. They're not Krishna conscious. So if one is detached from Maya, then one won't waste time. And the next is mana shunyata. If one is detached from the desire for sense gratification, then even the subtle sense gratification of desiring to be honored, that will not be there. Mana shunyata means devoid of the desire for being honored. That would seem to be a natural quality of a devotee, and of course it is, but it's mentioned because it's a very common trap of Maya, that when someone starts to become spiritually advanced, then others start to notice, those who are on the path of Krishna consciousness, and they recognize that, and they honor that, and the person or the devotee who's cultivating Krishna consciousness, if he becomes affected by that, if it goes to his head, as they say, there's an English saying, goes to your head. And one starts to think, yes, I'm very advanced, which is a definite symptom of one who's about to fall down. Even in English, the saying is there, pride goes before a fall. I wonder where that saying's from. Most of the English sayings are either from the Bible or from Shakespeare. And they're from other sources also. But be interesting to know where that saying comes from. Probably there in every, it must be there in your language also. In the, many of the European sayings are the same. One reason is because a lot of them are from the Bible. So that's one reason. And also, common sense is the same everywhere. That's another reason. It's not very common, but there are a few people who have it in various cultures, and they coin such sayings, similar sayings. So the desire to be honored, it's a very tricky, Maya's tricks. It's a very tricky trick, because it is the duty of those who have made some progress to help those who are coming up behind. And for that it's also required that they take a didactic position of instructing others for their benefit. So as soon as you take a superior position, then what happens? Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that a Vaishnav cannot become a guru, because as soon as one becomes a guru, he ceases to be a Vaishnav. Because it means taking a superior position. And a Vaishnava cannot take a superior position. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said this in the assembly of his disciples. Typical Saraswati statement, this thing. As Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, on hearing some statement of Saraswati Thakur's, he felt like he had fallen out of a tree. because Saraswati Thakur used to say such things. One time he said that Vrindavan, that's just for not very advanced, low level of transcendentalists. The real place is Kurukshetra. And so Sridhar Maharaj said, when I heard that, I felt like I'd fallen out of a tree. Because, you know, he'd been spending his whole life cultivating this on Saraswati's order, and all of a sudden he says, that's not Vrindavan. No, don't think much of that. Kurukshetra. What? Bhagavad Gita? What's this? So, anyway, I won't discuss that now. If you want to know more about that, read Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibha. It's discussed in there. Doing a little promotion here for my book. So, anyone who becomes a guru, by that fact alone, ipso facto, ceases to be a Vaishnava. But then he went on to say that, but if a guru does not become a Vaishnava, if a Vaishnava does not become a guru, then the parampara stops. Then he went on to say that, well, my guru ordered me to do this, so I shall do so. Even if I have to go to hell, I shall do that. So it's a very tricky situation. In Krishna consciousness, by going down, you go up. But if we're trying to go up to Krishna, and we can do that by bowing down and always being in the consciousness of submitting ourselves. Prarthana karai shada narottamadas. Narottam is always praying. Praying means to take a junior position. What's the word? Subordinate, inferior position. So, at the same time, one is obliged to follow the order. The order is there. And to become humble is not just a matter of bowing down, but one has to follow the order that is given. And the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to preach Krishna consciousness. And preach Krishna consciousness means to take a position, I know better than you. So, how can one do this? It means that internally one has to develop a sense of extreme humility, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described, that uttam hoya apanake dinamana. Even though one is in the highest position, he thinks himself the lowest. That means that one's in how one conceives of oneself is as very low. So the role of an instructor, it's like a persona, which the etymological root of that word is a mask. It's like you almost pretend to be something else. But on the other hand, it's not just pretending, because it's a serious and it's a spiritual relationship with subordinates. So again, how to balance it? The Saraswati Thakur would describe that he sees all his disciples as his masters. He would call his disciples Prabhu, which is not a standard thing to do. He would refer to them as Prabhu. And he would address them in the respectful form, apni in Bengali, apni in Hindi, ap. Whereas the normal form or familiar form is tum, tumi. Or even a guru may say to his disciple just like that, tu. That's also quite acceptable, like talking to a child, your own child. Tu, tui, Bangla tui, no? Kikochish, it's different. You don't speak like that to only to someone who's very intimate, isn't it? Like to your own child. Or sometimes the child speaks to their parent like that. Very intimate relationship. But he would say, apni. And even when he was chastising them, he wouldn't then change the form. He'd still call them Prabhu and chastise them. That seems contradictory, doesn't it? So it's maintaining respect for them. And Prabhu means master. It's not just respect. It's a very heavy term. It's generally used for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's known as Prabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Karamon. And it's also for Vaishnavas of the very highest order. Just like we have the Prabhu Tri, we say in the Jai Dhani, Srinivas Narottam Shyamananda, they're known as the three Prabhus, or specifically the Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Thakur, and Shyamananda Prabhu. So for very high-level Vaishnavas, that term would be used, Prabhu. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used for all his disciples. And some devotees used for everyone. The postman comes, and postman Prabhu, and all this. As in, everyone Prabhu. So, it's a dichotomy, you could say, or something not easily understandable by persons who are not Vaishnavas. How a Vaishnava appears to be a very arrogant person in many ways. Just like in the course of preaching, we are obliged to point out. Preaching means to speak what is in Shastra. So we are obliged to, as it is relevant, so we are obliged to point out that materialistic people are mad people. Crazy. Nunang pramata kurute vikarma. They're mad people. Or they're like just like stool-eating hogs. Nayang deho bhajang riloke. Kashtan karman arhate virbhujamya. Nayang deho deha bhajang riloke. The people who have got the human body but engage in difficult activities, They undertake difficulties so they can enjoy sense gratification, for the purpose of enjoying sense gratification. They are on the level of stool eaters, which means hogs and sometimes dogs also, they eat stool. So one has to point this out. And you may say, what is this? So even normal people in normal society who are not, they don't even have pretensions of being very spiritual, and they don't go around calling other people's fools and rascals, hogs and dogs. And here's someone who's supposed to be saintly and good and nice and detached, and no, there's no enemies, doesn't think badly of anyone. He's going around calling people fools and rascals and hogs and dogs. So it's difficult for people to understand, maybe. But then they should listen. He might take you to court. He called me a pig. I'm not a pig. You see, I have two legs. Pig has four legs. Yes, but by your qualities, you resemble a pig. So strong semblance is there. And as a matter of fact, my dear judge, you also. Everyone here, if you're not taking up Krishna consciousness, you're simply, if you're absorbed in sense gratification, then it's simply hog and dog society. There's so much disturbance in the world, from terrorists and everything else. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that if you keep people in the mentality of dogs, then where's the question of peace? They made the United Nations. Srila Prabhupada says, just like if you bring a whole bunch of dogs into a room, what will they do? They know they're all barking and snapping at each other. There's no question of peace. So you can bring one dog from Croatia and one dog from Bulgaria and one dog from China, put a flag on them, and they'll all bark at each other because they're dogs. So similarly, people in the doggish mentality of thinking that human life is meant for sense gratification, then there's no question of peace among them. Sometimes people, they accuse us, why aren't you opening hospitals, feeding the poor? You should take up the real mission of driving out the Muslims and the Christians and establish Hindutva. Just like Swami Vivekananda, he was a strong Swami. He should be like that. But there's no use. If Swami Vivekananda, by his policies, then everything becomes worse, because his idea, anyway, no need to digress into that just now. But anyway, the point is that a devotee has to preach, which means he may appear to others to be extremely arrogant. But actually, he's actually a devotee. Then you should be very humble. Of course, some people take this as, in the name of preaching Krishna consciousness, they're simply... Actually, we don't see that much nowadays, but one shouldn't. If one is not seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, one should not berate others for not doing so. One should strictly follow, and then one can preach. Apane achari prabhu jibere shikai. So, alright, those 2 points I covered. Yesterday 2 points, today 2 points, and then some other time, maybe on Monday, I'll take up the next 2 points. Are there any questions about this, please? Yes.
Activities are carried out which are not suitable for devotional
In the name of Yukta Vairagya activity, activities are performed which are not suitable for Krishna consciousness. Yes, be very careful of the time, place and circumstance excuse. These three words, if misapplied, you can throw out everything in Shastra. So be careful. According to time, place and circumstance, I mean, there's a very broad application of that. If it wasn't for time, place and circumstance, we wouldn't have the Srimad Bhagavatam. We wouldn't have the Shastra. Because Parashara saw that Satyavati, here's the right place and the right time for producing Vyas. And she said, well, wait a minute, you know, I can't do that. I'm not married, I'm a low-class girl, and you're Rishi, and what's going on here? And okay, just all right, don't mind, everything's under control. And he produced Vyasati, time, place and circumstance. But I don't think anyone else should say that, well, I walk up to some unmarried girl and say, okay, just come with me and we'll produce a great saint. Shouldn't be She trusted him because he was of that stature, and actually the result was good. But not to be misused. As it often is, as you have noted, in the name of time, place and circumstance, everything's okay. Anything can be done, or any rule can be broken, if Krishna is actually served better by doing so. But who can judge that? Well, it's not everyone who can judge that. Generally, neophyte devotees can't judge that, so it's better they follow the rule rather than risk. Better be cautious. Yeah, anything else?
Yeah. Unless one is completely self-controlled, it would be an impediment in conveying the message of Parampara as it is.
Unless one is completely self-controlled, there's an impediment in conveying the message of Parampara as it is. Yes, that's true. That's a fact. But even if one is not completely self-controlled, one can also convey the message of Parampara. The effect can be there. Just like we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, we may not be completely self-controlled, but people who take that are benefited. Now, if by our behavior in distributing the books, then people become unimpressed and think, well, that's what the books do to you, and make people of such poor character, then yes, our behavior can be an impediment. So again, apane achari prabhu jibere shikai, we should follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example and acting properly in devotional service and in this way teaching others. Yeah. Do you want to continue the discussion?
I didn't ask yourself.
Was this question coming through here?
No.
Your own question. Yeah.
So does it mean that when the only the intimate part of the one emphasis and not the according to the level of eligibility of hearers, Tatvajnana is not given emphasis, that means the speaker is not self-controlled?
You're asking about a speaker who speaks highly elevated pastimes to an ineligible audience. Does it mean the speaker is not fully self-controlled? Well, it means they're not acting according to the... they're not acting for the benefit of those who are hearing. They're not following the example of our previous acharyas. That's clear. Radhesh Prabhu?
Guru Maharaj, does thought come in the mind of detached devotees like Yamunacharya? Bad thoughts come in their mind? Or they are just...
Do bad thoughts come in the minds of advanced devotees like Yamunacharya? Yes, because he says, Yadavadi Bhatanari Sangame Smarimani. When the thought comes in my mind, so that's the thought comes in his mind, but he doesn't accept it. Maya is all around us. Ajamil Sora, this couple embracing. So that thought came. That at least the seed of the thought might come in someone's mind that I could also do that. He accepted the thought. Yamuna Acharya didn't accept it. That we have in, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudrama apa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yang pravishanti sarve sa shanti maknoti na kama kami. Krishna gives the example of the rivers, they flow into the ocean incessantly. But one who is, he gives the example of one who is undisturbed. Even though the mighty river flows into the ocean remains, is not influenced, because the ocean is much greater than the rivers. So a mighty river, if we're in the Ganga, we're carried away by the Ganga. But Ganga is so powerful. But when even a mighty river like the Ganga enters the ocean is not disturbed. So Krishna gives the example of one who, even though the desires enter the mind, one is not disturbed by them. So desires may come. They may appear, but they don't go any further than appearing, because the person who's detached doesn't pick them up and start looking at it and thinking about it and doesn't do that. And again we have Dhyayato Vishayam Pungsam. What's the next line? Sangas Teshu Pajayate. Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. By meditating or by taking the thought and considering it and thinking about it, then desires develop.
Sometimes a devotee quotes Sri Prabhupada that one quotation of Sri Prabhupada that if I can adjust the situation when Sri Prabhupada allow women to stay in Brahmacharya ashram in temple.
No, Prabhupada never allowed women to stay in the Brahmacharya ashram.
Sorry, in temple.
He allowed them to stay in the temple, but not in the Brahmacharya ashram.
So then they said that I do that.
You see, just by a little slip of the tongue could create havoc. Prabhupada said women could stay in the... I hear so many things. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. I said, really? I never heard that. I hear people quote Prabhupada saying so many things, unusual things, which I never heard, and there's no record of, but somehow Prabhupada said that. I hear people say things about me that I said this and that. I remember saying such a thing. So that's why we have Shastra. That's required. That's the. You may say Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. All right, maybe. But ultimately we have to see Shastra. What does Shastra say? Prabhupada may adjust this way and the other, but what is the teaching from which Prabhupada has developed everything he's given us is Shastra. Prabhupada may make a little adjustment and then someone adjusts that a little bit more and a little bit more, and then it becomes something completely bogus. Just like you go from Prabhupada allowed women to live in the temple to Prabhupada allowed women to live in the Brahmacharya ashram. There's a lot of difference. So you have to be careful with that. Yeah, so what did you want to say?
So they said that Prabhupada mentioned one statement that it requires some intelligence to adjust this situation like that. So how can we understand this statement?
How can we understand this statement? Well, what's the specific question? It requires some intelligence to?
To adjust the situation.
To adjust the situation, yeah. Well, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, he asked about that, about what are details and what are principles. Principles are unchangeable. Details cannot be adjusted. Prabhupada said that requires some adjustment. How can you understand? Well, how do you understand what this means? Well, you have to have some intelligence, then you can understand. If you don't have intelligence, you should just follow someone who has intelligence. That's all.
So you have to follow Shastra, Pundit,
Guru Sadhu Shastra? Guru Sadhu and Shastra, yeah. We follow the Guru because he follows Guru Sadhu and Shastra. In reply to a question, Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter, someone had written a letter, Prabhupada said, in one case, use your common sense, and if you don't have any, take guidance from someone who has. Yeah, anything else? It said in the Bhagavatam that even in Vaikuntha there is enjoyment of the opposite sex. Could you quote which slok, please? I think you'll have to show that to me because I'm not aware of that. It said that the residents of Vaikuntha, they live together and they together chant the glories of the Lord. But when you say there's enjoyment of, actually in the spiritual world there's no enjoyment of anything except by Vaikunthanath. That's the meaning of the spiritual world, in which there's the one enjoyer and everyone else contributes to his enjoyment. So if you think that in the spiritual world there's also enjoyment of anything by anyone except the Supreme Lord, then you haven't understood. This means specifically the word bhogna. Well, that would be the Hindi version. What's the Sanskrit version of the verb to enjoy? Or to consume, more specifically. Bhungte, bhogayate, something like that. So the idea is to... The word which we try and... Well, or generally translated as enjoyment means... Bhog, which means in different verbal forms. Different forms. Noun, adjective, verb, whatever. So that literally means to consume, to make something else the object of one's enjoyment. So in Vaikuntha, everyone is happy being the object of Krishna's enjoyment. They may be happy in the association of others, in the mutual consciousness of serving Krishna, not in the consciousness of enjoying one another or of enjoying anything else. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.